my Kabuchin. Hello, my friend, and welcome once again to a few moments of Bible study together in God's precious Word. And we're in the book of 1 John. If you'd like to get your Bible and study along with us. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast. And how good it is to trust and see that the Lord is good. He is the bread of life. He is the only way by which the hunger of the human spirit can be satisfied. He's the only way by which the thirst of the human spirit can be quenched. O beloved, Jesus Christ is everything and all that a person needs to make life worth living. How wonderful it is to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. Well, we're going to finish up today, the Lord willing, on this matter of eternal life. We've been discussing it for some number of broadcasts because it is such a wonderful, wonderful truth. And we're in 1 John chapter 1. That's where we are in 1 John chapter 1. And notice with me, if you would please, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, in our last broadcast, we discussed who the Word of Life is. In John chapter 1, John made it clear who the Word of Life is. That's another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the one who spoke in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the one that speaks throughout the first chapter of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. Over and over again, the scripture says, "And God said," "and God said." Jesus is the Word. He's the one who spoke. And we're told He's the one through which God created all things. And as John 1 says, without Him was not anything made that was made. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or hold together. He is life and Almighty God. Well, Jesus is eternal life. We were discussing that. And notice what He says in verse 2. For the life, Jesus is the Word of life. And the life was manifested, that is, was revealed. And we have seen it. We've seen the life. And bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. We've seen it. We've seen eternal life. We've seen this one who is eternal life. Now look with me again to chapter 5. And let's read again in chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12. Another wonderful passage here. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Where is this eternal life? It's in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is life eternal. He that hath the Son hath life. You see, beloved, when you have Jesus, you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can know that we have eternal life. And what a wonderful fact it is to know that we have eternal life. Now, verse 20 of 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. We can know Him, beloved. He is the truth, and we can know Him, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We can know Him, beloved, and we are in Him when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then we are in Him, and He is in us. He lives in us, and we have life eternal because He is life eternal. How does He live in us, beloved? You said he lives in us. Well, how does He live in us? Well, if you'll go with me to Romans chapter 8 real quick, and we'll take another little side trip here. We do this quite frequently, don't we? Romans chapter 8, and I want you to notice verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, we've already pointed out how that the child of God is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you again, in case you missed some of the previous broadcast. When a person accepts Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work of salvation in our spirit. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's physical birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that spiritual birth. And it's brought about by the Holy Spirit. It's in the spirit of man that a person is born again, in our spirit. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And thus the Holy Spirit moves into our spirit at salvation. We've read that in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13 and 14, that He's God's seal of our salvation, and He comes into our spirit at salvation. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He lives in us, and we are God's property. Once we've accepted Christ as Savior, we belong to Him. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. That price was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and glorious resurrection. And so, beloved, Jesus is eternal life. And to have Jesus as our Savior is to have life eternal. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth and a wonderful fact. And how good it is to belong to the Lord Jesus and to have that assurance that we are a child of God, born into the family of God through the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, I want to, this is the conclusion of our study on eternal life. But the next thing we're going to study about, and of course the basis for this study, is new birth blessings. There are so many blessings that a person receives when they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. so many, many blessings, and we're just considering a few of them, and the first one we've considered is eternal life. Now, the next thing we're going to consider is that we have the Trinity of God. We have the Trinity of God. The believer has the Trinity of God living within him. And this is a marvelous truth and a beautiful truth. And so we're going to look at a number of scriptures concerning God being a Trinity. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, we'll begin our study concerning the Trinity of God, and that we have the Trinity through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19. Here Jesus was speaking to the disciples, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, he met them there. They worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, this is verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now the word power here literally is authority in the Greek. It's referring to authority. Christ says, I have all authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Remember, those terms are synonymous. They're the same. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are speaking about the Spirit of God. And so I want you to notice that when a person accepts Christ as Savior, they're to be baptized, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to notice that word name in verse 19. It does not say in the names, plural, but it says in the name, singular. Because God's name, you want to know what God's name is? It's told to us right here. God's name is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's God's name. That's what he says right here in verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's God's name, beloved. And so we see the Trinity. Till next time, goodbye.